International SOS recently conducted a security assessment trip to South Africa to better understand the current operating environment and to meet with our security partners. We also wanted to use this opportunity to explain to business travellers who could be heading to the country for the first time how best to prepare for their trip.
I knew that it was a really beautiful country and I knew that it's a really interesting place to be and, you know, people are really welcoming, but it is overshadowed by the crime.
Hello and welcome to this Global Situation podcast from International SOS, the leading health and security risk services company. I'm Chris Giles. Well, joining me for this episode is our security manager, Ed Callow, who's recently returned from South Africa. And I started by asking him to give me his assessment for the current situation in the country.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. I mean, you'll probably see it quite a bit in local, regional and international media that there is a notion that South Africa faces a number of very deeply entrenched and serious problems, whether it be uneven development, economic decline and shortfalls in law enforcement or public services. So the situation is complex. We would advise for you to use private transport over using public transport, and also putting in place measures to ensure that you have independent access to power, because the national provider Eskom is going through huge challenges, which has led to what is called load shedding, where there will be power outages for quite long periods depending on the province that you are based in. Hence why people are now resorting to purchasing private power generators or relying on solar power, for example.
Is that something you experienced while you were there? Did it affect you during your stay?
Yes, I observed it, but you will find that internationally branded hotels or prominent hotels would have put in place measures to ensure that they can bypass those problems. So a hotel will have a private generator. So you will notice when the power goes out, there'll be a short period where power will go down, but then the private generator clicks into gear and power is resumed. Furthermore, depending on the province you're in, so say, for example, Gauteng province, last year they had issues with access to water. There was quite acute water shortages. So a number of hotels have access to either their own reservoirs or, you know, water tanks where they can draw water from to bridge those gaps. Or some hotels have boreholes on their property so they can access water independently as well.
How much of an issue are the power and water supply problems then?
I mean, there are pervasive issues with that in South Africa, and it can be due to a number of drivers. Services have notably tailed off, and it really does depend on the province that you are in. For example, in Gauteng province, the load shedding will be for longer periods than compared to other provinces. So these are definitely some issues that clients need to be aware of. The short-term stay, if you contact International SOS, we can provide you with hotel recommendations. And then during my country visit, I ensured that the hotels that we vetted have those contingency measures in place. The issues become more pronounced if you have either a workforce base permanently in country, or you are sending an employee on a long-term trip, because then you have to consider those kind of measures when you're placing them into a private residence. The security implications of that can also be apparent too, because if there is a power shortage, that can lead to issues with your perimeter security, your CCTV, and other security devices you may have in place to safeguard your residence. So that is why it is absolutely paramount that you have a means to bridge those gaps during load shedding periods.
Now, Ed, turning our attention to the security environment in South Africa, and what are some of the main things that business travellers should be aware of?
Undoubtedly, the main concern is crime. It has been for a while now in South Africa, and arguably it is increasing, and also the crime is pervasive too. It can be both violent or petty, and it is present in all major urban centres. So the thing that's quite striking is that nowhere is completely immune from crime. There is the tendency to think that, you know, if you're based in a or are visiting an affluent area, say Johannesburg, for example, in Sandton, there's a lot of footfall, that you are going to be immune from crime. But that isn't the case. The levels of crime can depend on the very precise location that you're in. So again, if you take an example of Melrose Arch in Johannesburg, that is an area that has layered security. So there are limited amount of entrances and exits to that particular location. There is a operations center there that monitors the area 24/7. And there's quite a visible presence of guards there as well. So that would preclude violent crime happening in an area like that, but it doesn't prevent petty crime like phone snatching and the like. Equally, you could say the same for Cape Town in the waterfront. Again, very similar to Melrose Arch in the security setup that they have there. Violent crime isn't very likely to happen there at all. When I say violent crime, I mean occurrences of like violent confrontations or mugging, but petty crime can still occur. So that is the major concern for anyone going to South Africa, whether it be for short term or long term.
And in your opinion, what sort of crime should people traveling to South Africa be aware of?
The types of crimes that you're exposed to really depends on the length of time that you're in the country. Like, naturally, the longer you're there in the country, the more exposed you are to these threats and the subsequent risks. So if we look at short term first, the types of crime are numerous. So there are petty crimes. And when I say petty crime, I mean incidences such as bag snatching or phone grabbing. If you are walking on the streets, it can be smash and grabs, which is referring to when a vehicle is idle in congestion in major urban centres. And then under the category of petty crime, you've also got scams. And these are pretty pervasive, actually, in major urban centres. So whilst I was there, I heard a number of anecdotal stories of people being in Johannesburg and Cape Town, where tourists have been confronted by well-dressed individuals claiming to be from the government or local authorities and asking for payment to receive a lanyard or a permit to access certain streets. And if you are presented with such demands and you're new in the country, you don't want to say no to a supposed government official. So unfortunately, some people have gone along with that, gone to an ATM, withdrawn money, and then had that money taken from them. In terms of violent crime, these are things such as mugging, armed robberies, and again, these are common in all major urban centres of South Africa. Some areas within cities have higher rates than others, but it's best to presume that it is an ever-present threat. And as I mentioned, that can impact clients on short-term and long-term deployments. And then under the category of violent crime, again, is carjacking. So whilst you're traveling on a highway or a key route, that threat is reduced. But it is increased when you are taking a turnoff from that highway or when using smaller secondary or local roads. But the threat is really most pronounced when you are stationary. And this can be at petrol stations, traffic lights, or robots, as they call them in South Africa, or when transitioning from a road into a hotel or a residence. And so that's when the threats are really at their highest.
And I've heard about cases of kidnapping in South Africa. Ed, how much of a problem is that for people there?
It is becoming more of an issue in South Africa as time goes on. There are a number of drivers for that increase. So naturally, if you're on a short-term deployment, the threat diminishes somewhat. But irrespective, if you're on a short-term deployment, there are incidences where people have been kidnapped. And this refers to what's called express kidnappings, where victims are picked up from the streets, whether they be walking or taken from a vehicle, and then taken to ATMs to enter their accounts. If you're on a long-term deployment, this can increase that threat because kidnappers can surveil, note patterns in that individual's daily routine, and then intercept them whilst they're commuting or when you're coming in and going out of your property. And that individual can be held whilst that kidnapping group demands that either their relatives or their employers pay a ransom.
So Ed, is it safe to walk around on your own in South Africa?
Wherever possible, we don't recommend walking around in South Africa. On the contrary, we would advise for you to use a transport provider wherever possible. This is applicable to both day and night. If it is absolutely essential and you have to walk during the day, just ensure that you do it with an individual who is cognizant of that local area, or even more preferable in groups. But we certainly wouldn't recommend walking around at night, no. And that really is just due to the pervasiveness of crime. The caveat to that is there are very specific locations where you may be able to do that. So in Johannesburg, it is permissible to walk around in Melrose Arch day and night, again, being cognizant of the fact that you can be subject to phone snatching. And then equally so in the waterfront area of Cape Town, it is an area that is thronging with bars and restaurants. There's a very heavy footfall there. Again, being subject to a violent confrontation is very remote, but again, the prospect of petty crime is still very real. So in summary, avoid walking wherever possible and opt for vehicular transport.
So Ed, what strategies would you recommend for people to employ so that they can stay safe while they're in South Africa?
One of the key aims of my assessment when I was there was to reassess the security partners that we already had and to add new partners to our network. If you contact us, we'll be able to manage those transport tasks that you need. So we would advise that when you arrive in country, you do so in daylight hours. You use that vetted transport provider to take you from the airport to your hotel, and to use that for intra-city commuting as well. Beyond that, if you choose to do it independently, we wouldn't advise using public transport. As I mentioned before, we wouldn't advise using foot travellers and means to commute around a city, but you can use other dedicated transport providers.
And if people are thinking about business travel to South Africa, How should they prepare before they go?
I think it's highly advisable to get a security briefing before you depart. You can either call in to our assistance centre or email us, and we'll be able to give you a bespoke security brief based on the specific locations that you're choosing to visit. It's certainly advisable to arrange all of your transport before travelling to the country. Again, you can consult with us for support on that. We have some partners that have more of a bigger footprint within certain provinces, so we can always pick out the best provider to suit your needs. You can consult with International SOS on accommodation selection too. We can try and point out a hotel for you that is agreeable with your itinerary. I would also suggest that when you arrive in country, you should ensure that your phone has data on arrival. That should probably be done in advance as well. If you have arranged transport independently, you should have a contact number for your driver. You should know what they look like and be aware of the vehicle make and the registration plate as well. Just as a footnote, some security partners or transport providers, when you arrive at an airport, will have a placard with a code on it, whilst others will inform you of where to meet them within the terminal. There have been issues where some individuals can kind of duplicate your placard and then you are drawn towards them as opposed to the provider you're supposed to be using. So for me, I prefer the latter, where you are informed in advance of what your driver looks like so you can identify them. And I also think it's really important that when you do arrive, whether it be at OR Tambo International in Johannesburg or Cape Town International Airport, that you keep a low profile when going through the airport. You shouldn't wear anything expensive, nothing conspicuous, and do not withdraw any money from ATMs on arrival as well. There have been issues in the past of carjackings or vehicle interceptions whilst individuals are en route from an airport to the centre of a city. So it is best to keep a low profile as possible.
And what about when you're actually in the country as part of perhaps business travel? What sort of things should people keep in mind?
We can help with ensuring that your hotel is in one of the more secure parts of a city. Like I said, I identified areas in Johannesburg, Cape Town and Durban, whereby I noted which areas are more preferable to stay in. If you provide us with your itinerary, we'll try and keep your commuting times as minimal as possible. And then we can support you in that hotel selection too. As I mentioned before, use vehicular transport for all moves, wherever that might be possible. And also, we get a lot of questions on whether Uber or app-based providers are recommended. It really does depend on the profile of the individual. So if somebody has traveled to South Africa before, very frequently, or has spent a long time in the country, Uber may be permissible depending on the location that you're using it in. So for example, in Cape Town, if you're just using it in the waterfront area and into the CBD, that's okay. But if you are choosing to do longer journeys, it's not recommended. But our baseline recommendation and what is always preferable is to use a dedicated transport provider at all times. And that could even be through the hotel as well. But just as a footnote as well, I mentioned before that smash and grab crimes are very, very common, particularly, as I said, when you are stationary in traffic. So just limit the amount that you use your phone, or if you have any other expensive items like a laptop or anything that produces light, it's best to stow that away out of view, just to kind of reduce the chances of you being targeted for a smash and grab crime.
Okay, Ed, thank you so much for all your analysis and advice.
Well, that's all for now, but just a reminder that you'll be able to access all the latest information and updates on South Africa from our website. That's internationalsos.com. And from there, you can find out about our global network of assistance centres. They're available to clients 24/7. But until next time, thank you very much for listening and goodbye.